Good evening. It's Thursday. It's December. December the 1st, 2022. That's right, baby. It is Thursday, December the 1st, 2022, Boblimp Doc. And it's just about exactly 10 p.m. Mountain Standard Time here in the great state of Utah. I'm getting over the flu, not the COVID. Not the monkey herpes, not the grizzly greasel. I broke my rule. I said I'd never go back to Seattle. I said I'd never go back to that hellhole. I said I'd never get on a plane again. And I got the Scrimbo from one of you coffee filter freaks. Oh, I wear the coffee filter to protect others. I wear it to protect grandma. I wear it to protect grandpa. I wear it for the children. The fucking coffee filter. Except for, you know, if you understand how bioweapons delivery systems work, you realize that the coffee filter is a baffle that creates turbulence. It energizes particles, allowing them to stay in the air longer, which means that if a person is wearing their nasty-ass, shithole, stupid fucking monkey face, onesie, twosie, triple Z, I saw people wearing two coffee filters at SeaTac. Yeah, it is 2022, Boblimp Doc. And the problem is all your recycled halitosis, scrungy breath, fungal bunctus, your inglumial scrimblus, all that recycles in your nasty tuberculosis-ridden lungs. And then just the special little charms, the lucky charms, the lucky fomites, the energized particles get emitted from your fucking coffee filter. But my coffee filter makes sure your person who sold you that coffee filter included a legal document that said they could not be fucking sued. So shut the fuck up. It has a statement saying, blah, 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 this doesn't do anything. Fuck you. I summarize, but that's about it. So shut the fuck up. But yeah, I went back on a plane. I took a short trip to Seattle for Thanksgiving and I got kicked out essentially Thanksgiving Day. And I don't blame my family. You know, I think they're good people as much as they can be in that shithole of Seattle. But I don't really have much in common at this point. I feel as if it's reasonable to say that they're living in a different universe. And I think a lot of people are. You know, there's a divergent reality. In early 2020, I've talked about this before, I did a podcast called Popping Smoke, and I've mentioned this concept. It's a tactical concept. It has to do with covering a reposition or retreat or withdrawal. And this was even before the monkey herpes really became a big thing. You know, this is the 10th of January, 10th of January, 2020. This is really before it became the military psychological warfare operation that it became, you know, that in terms of its scope and size. And what I said was, is that there's a number of tricks the elite will use towards the end to keep things, quote unquote, under control to cover their fucking escape. I never bought into the FEMA camps. I lived in a podment in Seattle. I already lived in a FEMA camp. I never bought into the plastic fucking coffins or the picking you up in buses or any of the Alex Jones nonsense. Why? Because they're not going to spend any fucking fuel to truck your fat ass any direction at all. They're going to leave you in your fucking lonely apartment with your 12 cats. You can listen to the alt news as much as you want to. And as you slowly starve to death, you can meditate on when that fucking New World Order, whatever, United Nations helicopter is going to drop an MRE on your head. It's not going to happen. One way in which popping smoke would manifest itself is the phenomena of the warden and the guards leaving the prison. So, when I say that people are in a different reality, they look at this Twitter thing. Oh my God, you know what? My account's, you know, that's kind of like what we're getting at here today, but my account's live on Twitter again. I mean, not any old account. They've all been destroyed and dismantled, but the one I just created a few weeks ago to test out the theory, it's still operating. There, you can go to the notes for this podcast and you know, peer into that shit. I don't know how long it's going to last. The phone that I associated with it no longer works, and I'm going to get a new phone number anyways. So who knows? In the meantime, who knows how long it lasts? I don't know. Yeah, my phone. Have you ever come home from a trip to visit family and taken out a pocket knife and stabbed your phone to death? Have you ever gotten home from a trip surrounded by Sklingo freaks and Drimbos and Frunks, surrounded by the commie scum of Sector 8? Have you ever got off that fucking plane covered in whatever poo-retarded bacteria people are spewing from their fucking tampon-ridden coffee filter mouths? And then when you get home, you think, that little device, that's what brought me there. You know, that little fucking device, it brought me there. Whispers whispered in my ear, using that shitty device, like the devil's fingertip, tickling your mind. Yeah, I got home from that trip and I took out a pocket knife and I was so filled with rage, I didn't even reason on just pulling out the SIM card. No, I was not going to be happy if any of that phone was left alive. If you want to understand my Thanksgiving, understand that when I got back to Utah, I stabbed my phone to death. And you can have whatever opinion you want to. I didn't even own a smartphone at this point. I haven't had a smartphone in years. This is a basic flip phone. So if you're saying to yourself, you did that to your iPhone, fuck you. Fuck you and your iPhone. Why don't you go install a chip in your head? Fuck you. I don't care about the iPhone people. They are so far behind the curve with respect to the future that I think I'd almost feel sad if it wasn't so fucking funny. So now, fuck you. So who knows? Who knows how long I last on Twitter? They do the phone verification. Dan, you gotta do the phone verification. Well, I don't have a phone. Elon Musk doesn't care. You have to have a phone, Dan. You have to have a smart device. You can't use Twitter unless you do. Yeah. And by the way, if this shit show lasts much longer, and I really don't think it's going to, I think the whole we're going back to the moon in 2024 We're orbiting the moon again in 2024 and landing on it with people in 2025. In poker terms, I think that's called a tell. But at this point in time, I would guess that 2023, if you have stuff you've been waiting to do, and I've been saying this since December of 2019, but if you have stuff you've been waiting to do, man, you've had a couple years. I mean, I've been deeply shadow banned and pushed down the toilet. I might be back on Twitter for God knows how long, but at least for the few people that have heard what I've said, I've told you there's some things you should probably do because a time is coming when you probably won't be able to pick up the phone and say, "Hey, old Grumbo, old, what about old Aunt Sassy Frass? You remember when we went dancing in the fields with the puppies? We sang songs to the birds. We went fishing for catfish. We had apple pie. Sorry I did the thing. Sorry I left those bodies. Sorry about everything. And the crack cocaine. Sorry, Aunt Sassafras." Yeah. You might not be able to pick up the phone and call Aunt Sassafras. I know that sounds terrible. I mean, like I said, I'm still a bit feverish. I got the flu. I've been passing fluids from my mouth to my butthole for several days. So who the fuck knows how many electrolytes are left to operate the circuitry of my body? But, you know, fuck you. But yeah, it's hard to say. I do not believe that the Twitter thing indicates anything other than what I predicted in 2020, which is that if they open up social media sites and they restrict in a public way, they reduce the restrictions and they reduce the censorship, it sounds counterintuitive, but it keeps the monkey people busy. It keeps the slaves busy. It keeps the crazies doing their crazy shit on Twitter. And in my opinion, with respect to all the psyops since early 2020, this is the crap you do at the end. This isn't the psyop beginning. This is the psyop conclusion, okay? You give them everything they think they deserve. It's all over. Everybody's fine. Everything's okay. Brothers and sisters, I'd love to tell you that 2023 is going to be a magical year where everything's okay again and all your Bitcoin will pay off and somehow magically all the stupid shit that your government's been doing for 200 years will just disappear. But that's not going to happen. I mean, I would say a good way of thinking about 2023 is probably whatever chickens haven't made it home yet. I think a lot of chickens are going to come home to roost. And they'll have chicken babies. They'll have chicken babies. Their little chicken children will live in the woods. They'll grow 12 feet tall. They'll hunt spunkest beast. They'll run out of the cattle. They'll run out of coyote. They'll look to man flesh. Yeah, they'll look to the man flesh. Anyways. I think the moon thing's a tell. I would, in terms of odds, I'd say 75%. I'm not certain, but to me, them saying for sure we're gonna send people around the moon. Listen, to me, it's a lot of bullshit. So you believe what you want to believe, but the fact that they're saying they're going to do that implies the possibility that there's just not gonna be any of that in 2024. Who knows what happens in 2024? I'm pretty certain it doesn't involve people orbiting the moon. And in 2025, I'm pretty certain it doesn't involve people landing on the moon. But you tell people that and they say, but we did it before. Well, we did it like 50 fucking years ago, if you believe what you're told. And then we forgot how we did it. And then in 2020, we were told to trust the science. And yet, when I think about it, then explain to me, how do you forget how you went to the fucking moon? How do you have to reinvent every fucking piece of that technology? How does that make any fucking sense at all? Of course, it does if you don't want to approach the possibility that scares the fuck out of a lot of normies, a lot of voters, that their government lies to them, and lies to them a lot. Not just on little things like the national debt, but on everything. Yeah. So who knows what this Twitter thing means? If you think it means the people are now free, I don't know what to say. I think you might be fooling yourself. But I'm back on Twitter for a bit. I remember telling different twits that towards the end I would try to live tweet a bit, you know. Live tweet the end of Grumbo time, live tweet the coming of Scrimptus, live tweet the day and age when the bowls of wrath will pour out fire. Live tweet when the 17 angels who watch over the mountains provide musket grease to the grumbly folk. I went deep into the deserts of Utah a few weeks ago. I'm looking to make money. I'm gathering ancient Native American artifacts, eldritch things, basalt, various kinds of crystal, flint covered in ancient blood. My buddy Slig, I met him, you know, during the war. My buddy Slig and I, we were going to look for that old style whale urchin juice and the monkey pie. We made camp on the Creole River, south of Gobo. We cooked ourselves a stew of frinkton and gliz. We picked that spot south of Gobo because that's where they used to hunt whiskey rhino and the lost cougar bats of Scompton. And it was like magic. But we didn't get nothing home. We didn't find no bits and pieces of ancient Wookiee culture. All we found was the mouth of the demon. All we saw was the skinwalker writings on the side of a cavern wall. Have you had the paste? You have to find an old hooker named Rita. She lives 20 minutes from Vernal. She lives in a small fracking town. You know, the oil workers, they do too much meth. She makes it from her own, you know, her own female power broth. It's a powerful mixture. It can excite your private zone. Yes, you find Rita, you get the paste. You take the paste, you get a cracker. You smear that thing on the cracker. Your eyes become dilated. Your mind becomes weak. and you pretend that you can talk to the raccoons and the squirrels. But you know you can't, buddy, because you just don't have enough crack. It has been declared, excuse me, it has been declared, it has been declared by edict, all genders are Skriglix type 3 now, all holes will be sealed up with Bodine standard cement glue, all the regions will create Plunket centers, where all types can have hot pokers shoved someplace. In this we shall heal and find totalistic peace and love jambalaya. The issuance of derivative financial products for the purpose of building these specialized help centers, whereby one's holes are sealed or closed using a combination of arc welders and industrial glues. This is big, man. Get Goldman on the phone. It's money. It's success. It's everything. It is in moments of fickle tragedy that we find our way back to the wholesomeness of crack cocaine. It's in moments of pain when the demons chase us, when we're wandering the streets, that we find crack cocaine. It's when the darkness falls. It's when the darkness becomes blacker than black. It's that those moments of infinite loneliness that we find and discover crack cocaine. It's true, baby. It's an ancient truth. You can't take your weird red-tide dreams and make a world. You can't stop the Wookiee people from taking their due. A time of great cleansing, it's upon us. When the hairy beast will run, streaming from the mountains and hills. You think your 300 Winchester Magnum's gonna stop them? It ain't gonna do shit, baby. Not even explosive bullets. When those Wookiee people come out of the mountains in a few months, covered in their own greases and oils, when they come out of the mountains carrying baseball bats the size of small trees, when they come down and they scratch up your Tesla and your BMW and all your fancy stuff at your house, you'll know the deal. You can have all the rounds of 50 cal and 300 Winchester Magnum and 30-06, 30-30, I don't care. You might have a Ruger 10/22 to shoot in its eye. It's just gonna smile at you and then rip your head off. So the Wookiee people are coming. They gave us warning. They said, stop being a dick. And we did not fucking listen. We could have heard their voices when they gave us warning, but instead, We ignored them. They're coming now. They're gonna eat your people. I knew this stripper in Salt Lake City. She had blue eyes and black colored fingernails. Her arms, covered in needle marks, trembled as I touched her flesh, and when she kissed, it was like kissing a garbage can. But she saved me from the Gumtik folk of Provo, so I had to bring her home. I bought her a dress. I bought her a ring. I bought her a car. I bought her bling. I got her a job working for old Terry. It seemed so great at first. I knew this doctor in Seattle, baby. I knew this doctor who worked in Seattle. He worked at a Pike place. He did street-style Italian surgeries. He was willing to remove a kidney for $3. I asked him, "How can I feel that way of youth?" And he said, "Seek out the hobo shaman of Utah. Seek out their ancient oils and greases, not far from where they killed all those orphans and then lied about it." I knew a doctor in Seattle. I was nearly beaten to death by 4 Mormon missionaries 5 miles east of Scompton, Utah. And when I awoke, concussed and covered in piss and shit, I could see the great eye glow of the total mind looking down from the Uinta Mountains, looking down upon all of us, as if we were all scarab beetles or just monkey children with herpes. That great eye told the secrets of the cosmos. That great eye opened up every crevice. That great eye told me what happened to Elvis. That great eye, it was up there real big. Zingo cases, they work the docks. Zingo cases, they work the docks near LA, LA Harbor. They pick up boxes marked keg. They make sure a few of those boxes, you know, fall off the fucking trucks. When they get back to their sewer hideouts in Malibu, they discover a glowing orbis of dung and trig and whale wax, and the Lord looks down in shame. Skreeg gangs scour Grinkin' Town, while the old tiger girls wear their short skirts and rub trouble juice on their legs. They give you a wink, and you will be marked for the scoundrel sauce. Poor women luring men back to their shanties. Poor women with too many fucking cats to feed. Be careful, young man out there dating. Be careful, young lesbian woman. The cat lady, she's out there now. And she loves her cat more than you. You'll go to a bar some night, and you think I'm joking, but fuck you, listen up. As I drink my orange juice, fuck you. You'll go to a bar some night. Yeah. And there'll be a woman there, a beautiful woman. Maybe you're a lesbian or a straight man, it doesn't matter. The woman at the bar, she's wearing a red dress. She's wearing silk stockings. She's got nice boobies. You'll say, "Hey, baby, would you like a drink?" She'll say, "Hey, man, I'd really love one." You'll talk about weird stuff. You'll talk about work stuff. You'll talk about the protein cubes. You'll talk about all kinds of, you know. And then she'll say, "Hey, baby, would you like to come back to my place? I can make smoothies. I've got a really great food processor." You know. Yeah. "I've got a great food processor. Come back." Listen, folks, if you're out there dating at this point and in the near future while the electricity still works, be careful of the cat ladies, because they're going to be out there, and they don't give up. And really, it can be the dog ladies or the dog men or the cat men. It doesn't matter. This isn't necessarily gender specific, but the key point is that person at the bar cares more about their cat than they care about you. And cat food is expensive. It's hard to feed people to a dog, probably. Dogs have a soul. But you can feed a person to a cat, especially if you add a little spice. It's just a fancy feast. It's just a fancy feast, baby. I gotta pour some more orange juice here, but you know, before we move on, like I said, be careful. There are cat ladies out there that love their cats and won't be able to feed them, and or afford to, rather. And they don't want to, like, kill their cat, but man, they've had some bad dates. They've had some rough dates. They've dated some real jerks, so they've turned to the dark side. They're not gonna turn to cannibals, but you know, they gotta feed the cat. And that's the key. Yeah. I found the old hag wandering near the median. She had a copy, you know, of Hillary Clinton's biography. It was stuck in her bag. Also in her bag were bloody condoms and lots of crack. She spent her days wandering the truck stops, and now her time is done. Yeah, it's done, baby. And no one will know or care, right? Because a shadow of a life is now dissipated into the nothingness from which it sprung. And all the powdery, you know, effervescence of this ephemeral existence that one can wax and wane and moan and wail about becomes merely the Gumpta sauce of future kings. And for you and I, we are the forgotten ancient dwellers who simply chisel at the walls because of our existential pica. There are 12 generals that vie for the East. There are 18 generals that wrestle to control the poor. And the king, he talks to the ancient ones using laser tubes and glass wheels. His mind is confused and his hands shake. His women look for skittlefish while the high priestess rubs her oily boobula. I saw an orange, brown, and black. I saw an ugly sky when I sojourned. I saw an atrocity hovering over the city as I lived among, you know, the swamp people. You understand what I'm saying, motherfucker, right? I saw an orange, brown, and black sky when I sojourned briefly among the swamp people. Their tongues were like jelly snakes. They drank the mead of hard death from cups carved of human bone. No one spent the day questioning the butt poisons. They lived the lie. They bought the pills. They shot up right into their butt crack. They had the Bitcoin. They had the Lightning Network. They had the mesh. They had the creche. They had the special taco made of crabs with tumors. I had several whore wives, and they would massage the part of my broken spirit where the roaches laid eggs, and the screaming never stopped. They would bring me tizzle juice, and I would ungoogliate their boobula with my man pipe. Yes, I would. It was dangerous loving, dangerous living, and angry. When I lived among the Groban League, when I lived among those freaks, I would spend my days standing at the pier. I'd look out west towards the sectors and regions, the various zones. I was hoping they were cleaner, fewer STDs and crabs. I would ride the ships to Dip Island. I would ride the vessels. To the future. I would go to Dip Island and spend the night there. And I would ride the monkey turtles and drink honey wine and ask that question, can we endure? And the answer is maybe. Can we endure? Can we muster on? Can we slouch forward? Can we slouch towards Gomorrah? Can we wazzle through? Can we wiggle woggle? Can we take a stroll towards the edge of the night? And I don't know. You tell me, brothers and sisters. I'm just here pooping out every hole. And I'll be doing that all week at the Lido. Yes, a new show called Pooping Out of Every Hole. If you've never seen enough yellowy, browny phlegm and butt grease come squirting out of a fat, middle-aged man's butthole, have you ever dreamed of seeing it ooze out like a sideways, depressing volcano, all greasy and nasty and shitty and filled with poison and pain and broken glass and diesel fuel? Yeah, metal shavings and wood chips. Then you can come to the Lido. Next week we'll be at the Fresco Theater in Springton. We have a whole cavalcade of stars. You should come on by. I don't know, folks. That's basically what I tweeted today. Now, you say, well, Dan, was that significant to the history of... I don't care. I don't really know why I'm doing this, except it's a kind of, you know, schadenfreude. Beyond that, I don't know. It's a way to spend time when you're sick. But I just don't know what to make of the whole Twitter thing. I know it feels good to believe that Elon Musk is your hero, and it helps the current kind of quasi-narrative continue. You may have fallen on the, well, the COVID was kind of real, or the COVID was a Chinese murder virus. Whatever version of Uncle Dan is a professional NBA basketball player because he went to Lenny Wilkins' basketball camp, whichever version of that shitty story you need to fall on, go ahead. I don't care. People are bargaining for lesser catastrophes. People are out there hoping and praying for disasters because they realize that everything on the menu is wrong. All of it is wrong. I don't care if it's little Greta Thunberg or Ron Paul. Everything they're offering you is mostly bullshit. And some of these people know it. And some of them don't. If you need to incorporate an Elon Musk messiah complex fixation into your general cognitive awareness panel in order to get through the fucking day, I get it. Okay? I understand. I'm an old Irish drunk, so I understand trying to disappear from reality. But, you know, like Ayn Rand said, you can ignore reality, but you can't ignore the consequences of ignoring reality. And it's something to remember. She was right. A lot of folks right now are talking about things that sound bad because they're preferable to what a lot of people, even if only on an unconscious level, suspect is the case, that the world that people thought was solid and forever is about to go away. Doesn't mean it's the end of the world, but as far as like best case scenarios go, kiss the US dollar goodbye. Raise rates, you make the dollar impossible to use. Lower rates and start printing again, and the dollar just turns into pixie dust and nothing. And yeah, we have lots of bullets and lots of bombs. We do. We have bullets, we have bombs, we have soldiers and sailors. But I think the reality is the United States federal government is in collapse. It's in about the same place that the Soviet government was in 1990, just after the Berlin Wall fell. Not in good shape, not strong, utilizing military psychological warfare to control people, which is a weak strategy. It's Quaker guns. It's painting logs black at Richmond. It's not a strong strategy. It's not an indication that they're about to take over the world. I think it's an indication that a lot of these people are shitting their pants. This is what I said in 2019 before the whole mess started, and this is what I'm still basically going to tell you. They're utilizing military psychological warfare to control you, but not to put you into a camp. They're not going to do that. Why would they waste the resources? Not to like bring in a new world government. That's a lot of bullshit too. They're doing it to essentially cover their escape and to cover a fuzzy event, an event that had a probability window, a window that probably started in 2019, and I'm just guessing here, probably didn't exist much past a 5-year period. So when they talk about things like going back to the moon in 2024, to me, it's like, yeah, that's a period on an end of a sentence. That's a closed loop, going back to the moon. But Dan, Elon Musk, listen, Elon Musk is perfectly happy with the government, okay? He may not say he is, but he is. And as far as him standing up for, like, conservative values or free speech, again, I put this into the category of keeping people busy. And I would add, you know, do we even know where he is at this point? And that he's even a real person, really? He could be a fiction. He could be 100% made up. I have no idea. I don't really trust the media. So you want to tell me that you read an article about how he was born here and he did this? Maybe. Maybe some of that's true. I don't know how much of it. I know that he gets money from the feds. I know that SpaceX looks like bullshit. I know that if you put a car into space with materials that are non-reflective, they start melting and flaking off immediately. Random point. Well, you remember the fucking car? He floated to space. You know, with the big black steering wheel and the big black tires. I didn't see anything happen to that vehicle that should have happened if it was legitimately just some piece of shit car he launched up there. But bottom line is the color scheme chosen for space was stupid, you know? And yet, I didn't see that paint peel off and burn off. Another thing, too, if it was a real vehicle, it had that foamy material in the steering wheel. That should have blown up like a balloon in a vacuum. But did anybody tell you that? Oh. And those tires, if they were real, not so good for a vacuum. But Dan, it was just a big piece of metal painted to look, yeah, I know. but it was still painted though. So I don't know how much of that bullshit's real. If you want to sell me on kinda real, sorta real, it feels like you're negotiating with reality. Not with me, but with the way the world works. I think we're in the midst of that madness, that crazy that always precedes the crash of a civilization. That's where I think we're at in the story. Does that mean that it's going to be tomorrow? Probably not. But do I think we're going to be landing people on the moon in 2025? Probably not. So if you wanted to pick a good year to get shit done, 2023. You want to pick a good year to get ahead, 2023. You want to pick a good year to find a woman, 2023. You know, wear a condom or not, whatever. You can go to space, man, in 2023. You can build a laser ship in 2023. You can take your, caterpillar tractor and you can convert it into a tank just like Marvin Heemeyer in 2023. You do what you want. I mean, I'm a Christian. I'll tell you, you're better off finding your faith in Christ. You're better off following that path of faith, with the Holy Spirit as your guide. This is all true. But I live in a free, I would like to live in a free society where people can respect each other's perspectives. And I will at least live according to my values, which are based on liberty, and tell you, if you need to enter into a delusional state and ponder the possibility of going into a housing market in 2025 and buying cheap, you do it. You do it. I will repeat this as often as I need to. The value of a home where you have to ship in food and water, get it from someplace else, in the near future, that value's, this is Uncle Dan's really easy home value calculator. If you can't get food, if you can't get water, the value is zero. It's zero. And frankly, that's the bare minimum. Okay? We're not even talking about things like, heating oil or natural gas for heating or access to firewood, or even if you actually have a wood stove. Okay? If you don't have food and water available where you live, the value of your home is zero. It's nothing. No one's going to buy it. No one's going to trade gold for it. No one is going to give you free food for it. There you go. But Dan, aren't they going to warn us? Aren't they going to give us a warning? Aren't they going to tell us? I mean, probably not. The United States government has a history, especially during the Cold War, of doing experimentation on the American population using radiological and biological compounds. And they didn't warn or tell people. They didn't say anything. They simply said, no big deal. Okay, lots of people were exposed to radiation in places like Nevada and Utah during the above ground testing, and they were told no big deal. If you think they're going to give you warnings and tell you stuff like, oh, I don't know, we're going to use a tactical nuke to frack for gas. They never told people about that before they did it. They just went out and did it. So please stop with this, they wouldn't lie to us, or they'll give us a warning. They'll give you no warning. And on top of it, if you're one of these Hanlon's razors, motherfucker, whatever, I'm a Hanlon's razor kind of guy, then what if they're just too fucking stupid? Kind of like the first H-bomb test at Eniwetok, where they miscalculated by 70 or 80%. and ended up they ended up moving a tribe or two, and then they had to move them again because their lands were much more destroyed by the bomb than they had expected. What if they're just that fucking stupid? Whatever the case is, whatever little hopeful dream you want to hold on to as if I give a fuck, I'm simply stating that you're not going to get any warning, and expecting them to tell you the truth is a kind of a foolish thing, probably. Yep. One final note. If you want to donate to this podcast, I'll take your money. I'll take your money. I hope that you've taken care of what you need to take care of, your bills, your food, your family, your friends, the people you care about. These are things you must do first. That you provided yourself with some buffer space as far as food and water goes, you should try to do that too. But if you've taken care of yourself and your friends and your family, you've built up your supply of food for yourself and for your pets. If you have a dog or cat, don't be an asshole. You know, don't be a cat lady. You could end up a cat lady if you love your cat and you run out of food, but instead, why don't you just stock up on some food for your pets too? Don't be a dick. But if you've done all this, you know, you've taken care of your cats and your dogs and your hookers and your women and all of the various alligators, you've got piles of gold and silver and Bitcoin someplace, and you still have a few bucks left over, then there's a link to donate. You can give me your money. You can give me your cash. I'll use it. I'll use it for cocaine. Yeah, there's a link to donate if you want to. That is up to you, obviously. I don't know what to tell you. You want me to tell you? You have to donate. You don't have to do anything. You know, this show is probably shit, and it won't matter in a few weeks or months anyways, I think. It's not the end of the world, but boys, brothers and sisters, friends out there, if you can't sense what's happening... You know that phrase, rude awakening? Like having a bucket of cold water dumped on your lousy fucking head after you're up all night drinking whiskey with your friends. It'll be like that for you. It'll be a rude awakening.